Now it's time for our regular feature. This is our regular local history spot, brought to you by Richard Matthew, who has written and will read his article on the bread riots of 1766.
Despite the number of people living in food poverty and using food banks today, I think we'd be surprised if there were riots about the price of food. But in 18th century Norwich, people felt so strongly about the price of bread that they were willing to involve themselves in a major disturbance, after which some were condemned to death or transported to the colonies. The story of the riots is told by original documents in the Norfolk Record Office, and the quotations in this feature are all from those documents. The story begins with the events of September the 27th, 1766, when a man named Robert Lighting was seen entering Norwich Market from Weaver's Lane between 11 and 12 p.m., quote, blowing a horn and followed by a great number of persons, unquote, as though it was a call to arms. Shortly after this event, chaos descended on the market. Rioters ran through the stalls, stealing the market's provisions and throwing them around. On the same day, the mill at New Mills Yard was also demolished, as well as a malt house and granary in Carrow. The malt house was set ablaze and the building disintegrated, along with the barley and malt which was stored inside. Later that evening, quote, more than 20 riotous persons armed with clubs, stakes and other weapons came to Edward Budge's house in a tumultuous manner, unquote. They broke the windows and shutters on the house and the shop in Mancroft, but Budge successfully deterred the mob from further damaging his house by, quote, prevailing upon them to go to the White Horse Ale House, unquote, across the road, telling them to have whatever they wanted, which he promised to pay for. But his ploy didn't work, as the rioters then began to pull down the alehouse itself. The next day, Sunday the 28th of September, while he was away, a mob of angry men attacked the house of the baker Richard Lubbock, quote, armed with clubs, stakes and other weapons, unquote. The mob broke into the house and quickly set to work destroying it. Many of Lubbock's belongings were taken away and furniture was thrown out of windows. Quote, God damn my soul, one of the rioters dramatically called out, if I don't put up all the stones in the street and drink blood. Unquote. Richard Sturman, apprentice to Richard Lubbock, reports with dismay how he returned to find five of his shirts and three pairs of stockings, quote, feloniously stolen, unquote. Luckily for the baker, the sheriff came to his rescue with a large posse who managed to disperse the group and arrest some of the ringleaders who were sent to Norwich Castle to await trial. This was just part of an entire weekend of systematic attacks on the bakery business throughout Norwich, the rioters being angered by the high prices of grain, possibly caused by a poor harvest, and they believed that the bakers were profiting at the expense of the poor. It was not only Richard Lubbock's house which was attacked on this day, though, but also those of two other bakers, William Money and Robert Elwin. By this point, some of the rioters were beginning to lose steam and seemed disposed to go away. But a man named William Young loudly blew a horn, reinvigorating the riotous spirit into them so they could finish the job that they had set out to do. The 1766 disturbance is actually the best documented of all the riots which broke out across England that year, a serious situation which stretched the powers of both the government in Westminster and local authorities to their limit, and the Norwich magistrates lost control of the city very early on. When, eventually, they tentatively ventured out of the Guildhall in what became a catastrophic attempt to read the Riot Act, the mayor, John Paterson, is reputed to have handed the chain of office to his sister-in-law with the words, quote, take care of this little mother, God knows if I shall come back alive, unquote. his fears proved entirely warranted, as the magistrates found themselves being pelted with a volley of stones by an angry crowd emerging from St. Mary's Plain. The town clerk, Francis Wright, was struck on the head before a single word of the proclamation could be read. He hid for a while before making his way back to the Guildhall, his head bleeding, to find the magistrates in a state of consternation, faced with the realisation that they were on their own, without any force to back them up. After 2 days of near paralysis, the magistrates regained the initiative and they came down very hard on the rioters, while also attempting to regain trust by establishing a medium price for grain. At the trials held in November of that year, 8 men were condemned to death, but in the event only 2, John Hall and David Long, went to the gallows on Castle Hill. The rest were transported to the American colonies. The rioters must have known that they were risking severe punishments, so we can deduce that they were driven to riot by hunger and desperation. And there's a small memento of the riot in the Bridewell Museum, the pocketbook of the city swordbearer Charles Lay, who on the first morning of the riot was struck squarely on the head by a pint of butter thrown by a weaver named Henry Nobbs as the magistrates were beating a retreat back into the Guildhall.
Thank you, Richard.